there was a storm coming. Vivian Alden stood on the shore, the round pebbles shifting under her feet. For a moment, she clutched the thick robe close to her throat as she stared out across the English Channel. The air was already yellow and heavy, but the dark clouds remained distant, mounded on the horizon over France. The waves were starting to kick up, but for now they were still merely fretful rather than angry. She could still go back, climb the cliff, and slip into the house before anyone knew she was missing. All was in chaos anyway, with everyone busy preparing for tonight's party at Halliwell Hall. Now there was a storm she'd gladly miss. Her stepsisters would barely notice her absence, though her mother would certainly fly into a rage if she knew where Vivian was at this moment. She stayed put, staring out across the water. This day was a sacred annual ritual for her, and her mother was probably still in bed, sipping tea and complaining about having so many things to manage. There was Margaret's betrothal party tonight, to be followed by her wedding. Julia, her second stepdaughter, was due to make her London debut in the spring, and the 15-year-old twins, Felicity and Grace, were unruly, inquisitive creatures who thrived on mischief. Fortunately, Miles, her stepson, and Lord Rutherford's heir, was away at Eton and out from underfoot. There was also Vivian's own wedding to the Marquis of Medway to plan for. Except there wasn't. Not anymore. Vivian had called Philip last night and broken it off, though she hadn't told her mother yet. There'd be time later, of course. Or possibly not, with all that was going on today. The conversation would have to happen eventually. Another storm that would need to be weathered. But today was not a day for the kind of news that would lead only to disappointment, arguments, and questions she didn't want to answer. First from her mother, then her stepsisters. They'd join forces as a unified flock to peck Vivian to pieces over letting a prime catch like Philip Medway go. Then she'd have to face her stepfather. She raised her chin against the wind. She had her reasons, and it was between her and Philip alone. Today she had other things to think about. 7 years ago, on this very day, at this very hour, Vivian's entire world had collapsed. She didn't cry or turn to look west toward Cornwall and home. Her old home, since Kellyn, where her father had died, was lost to her now. She'd been the one to find him that morning, in the lake. And this was how she chose to remember him. What better way to dispel the horror of a drowning than by defying the waters? She was the Lady of the Lake, or of the English Channel, now. And she was an excellent swimmer. Her mother had forbidden her to go near the water after her father's death, fearing Vivian would drown too. Vivian took a breath, ran down the shingle, and plunged into the icy waves. The cold water closed around her. It wasn't like the warm green waters of the Lady's Lake at Kellyn. The channel was fast and dangerous, black and salty, like tears. She waited for the water to become benevolent around her body, buoy her up in a loose, cool grip. It was memory and torment and pleasure all in one. She hadn't cried on the day of her father's funeral, or even when her mother had told her that Kellyn, the estate that had been home to the Alden family for hundreds of years, was to be sold because there was no money to pay the exorbitant death duties. At 14, she'd been too young and too shattered to ask questions. And her mother was consumed by her own anguished grief, torn between anger and loss. Did she remember the anniversary? Would she have agreed to this date for Margaret's betrothal party if she did? In 7 years, she'd never mentioned the events of that day, the way she'd found Vivian, white-faced and silent by the lake, next to the lifeless body of her father, his face turned to the sky.